this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
One more time, Father, we just thank you for this moment that we share. We indeed share it with you. Oh, we just thank you, God. Yeah, we just thank you for denim and white shirts and your goodness, Lord God, that you clothe us with peace, that you clothe us with just being near to you. And so we just open our hearts and thank you for the work of your Spirit here today, leading us into what is right and true, giving us a clear reality of who you are and what you've done and what you're saying to us and drawing us nearer to you, Lord God. We bless that here in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Grab a seat. Great to see everyone. I think there's a little bit more anointing on white shirts with stripes. I'm not sure about the drummer. Didn't quite get the memo. We pray for him. Sarah came out wearing denim and white this morning and went and got changed because I had it on. So, submissive wife, it's beautiful. Well, God is really good. If you didn't know that, you can know that now. And he loves you. Actually, the Bible doesn't say that he loves you. Oh, it says that he so loved the world. That's what Jesus said. So there's always an emphasis on God's love. Ephesians says great love. Doesn't just say love, it says great love. You go back to Psalms and it says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. It's not just love, it's like you can't explain it. It's just immense. And he wants to give you himself. And the experience of God comes with an experience of peace. God's peace. And there'll be an experience of God's peace for you if you become a Christian. It's like, I didn't know that there was peace. There's a full-on experience. There's an experience of God's peace when you listen to people talking about Jesus. It comes because a lot of people have inner turmoil. And when you come around the Word of God, there's a truth and a work of God that brings you into a place of peace. It leads us and it guides us and it helps us. And I want to look at a passage of scripture and a woman who has a lot of inner turmoil, and she comes to Jesus, and it's in Luke chapter 7 and starts in verse 36. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. It's quite an interesting moment. It's really quite random when you think about it. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. And he gets the answer because he's thinking it and Jesus has known what he's saying and he's questioning his prophetic ability. And Jesus knows what you're thinking about the white shirts and the denim. Some of you were thinking it before. He knows everyone's thoughts. And this guy doesn't really understand who he is. Jesus answers his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more than that? Simon answered, I suppose for whom he cancelled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my head. She has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who has forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who's this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. When I first came to Christ over 20 years ago, it was a wonderful experience of God's peace. I didn't have any clue of what I was going to experience. And I walked up to church, I showed up there, and I thought, Flip, I've got to go in there and they could be freaks. Literally, that was my thought. And then I had an argument in my head. Do I go in? Do I not go in? What if I go in and they're freaks? What if they're not? What if they're normal? I don't know. I'm here now. What if I go in? I don't know what's going to happen. And then a guy came out and invited me in. He said, what are you doing, mate? I said, I'm thinking about going to church. He said, that's a great idea. Why don't you come in? That was easy. And so then I went in and I had a look around and it was just like here. There was children and pulling the moves like Havelock. Has anyone seen Havelock's moves? Gets them from his mother. Hey? No way. Gets them from his father. Hey, I remember Hudson when he was little. He was always tearing around the place, annoying people. Now he's big. He was only small. Like Hudson, like, I don't know what he ate when he went to the army, but he just went sort of normal size and came back half a giant. Anyway, and I was like, well, what's going on in this place? And the guy preached a message. His name was Guy. He's a good guy. And some of you know him. And he invited anyone who wanted to receive. I went out and received prayer. And I had this experience of God's peace, truly. And it was awesome. The only thing was I didn't go back for 4 months. But that experience sort of played in my mind. And the peace just slowly wore off. You know, it just wears off. Things wear off if you don't come to church. It just sort of leaks out of you. You want to refresh and refill and get into the house of God. But every Sunday I thought about that experience and I thought about, and then the inner turmoil started to come back and the darkness that comes with all kinds of lifestyle things that you don't, I was used to playing soccer and then in Australian sport, a lot of guys drink beer after the game, which is really bad for you because, you use up a lot of energy and you should probably drink water. But if you go around on a Sunday, you'll see most teams, older guys or guys, and they play sport and then they drink beer. It's like Australian culture. Unless you're professional, but even in semi-professional, they do that. So there's this culture in this clubhouse, and that's what I went. But the peace wore off so much, I'm going to go back and find out what that was. And so I went back for God's peace, and you will find God's peace in a few places in this woman's life. She shows up, she hears about Jesus, she shows up, and then she comes to Jesus. And here Jesus is in a Pharisee's house. And Pharisee simply means I keep all the rules and then I make more rules and I keep those too in an Australian interpretation. But basically they followed the law meticulously and they were hung up on religion. And religion does absolutely nothing for God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no water, no kissing, no kissing. Who wants to be involved in that religion? Not us. Let's have some kissing. No kissing and no oil, no water. There's no salvation in religion, no salvation. There's no intimacy. There's no honour with God. There's no smooching. There's no coming close in relationship. And there's no oil, there's no anointing, there's no will of God, no plans and purposes, it's just dry. There's a dryness to it. And here's this Pharisee's heart, but a lot of Australian people are like, have a Pharisee kind of mindset. And you go, I'm a pretty good bloke, I'd do good things. I'm sure if I do good things, then I'll get to heaven or something. God will accept me because I'm good. We're good. There's a little bit of a problem, though. It's called sin. As Chris was saying before, it's a big problem. You read through the Bible and you just see all the relationships that God has with people, the good and the bad and the ugly and the awesome. And whenever they walked away from him in relationship, and when there was idol worship and hostility and sin, there was no peace. Whenever they walked with him and walked in intimacy in relationship, they had peace and blessing in their lives. And so there is a real problem with sin, that it separates people from God and it keeps people away. And a lot of Australian people just sort of have their own sort of idea of what that should look like, and they make up their own God. A lot of people have a comment about who Jesus is, just like this guy. He's like, if this guy were a prophet. Well, a lot of religions do that. They want to include Jesus in their thing. Doesn't work. I've seen comments with Buddhists saying, oh, well, maybe, you know, some of his teachings were like, I think it was like the chakra or something. I don't even know what that is. But, you know, he could have been influenced by Buddhism. And people want to make a comment. I read this great book. Some of you remember the guy Keith Green. You'll be a little bit older if you remember him. And he died in a plane crash, but he came to Christ. But before he came to Christ, he tried other religions. He tried a few out. Went searching for God. And what he found was that they all commented about Jesus. But when he came to check out Jesus, he was like, Jesus doesn't comment on any of those. He just says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's not being exclusive. He's being inclusive. He has a reality. The truth is a reality about who God is and what he has done. And the problem is that sin is a condition in your, stops your heart from working properly. Because in your heart, there's supposed to be a part in there that works with God. It's supposed to have God in there. And sin sort of stops that part of your heart, of your spirit, being alive and working properly. It's not a measure of how bad you are. Because often people think in terms of, well, that's a big sin and I don't do little sins. I might, you know, I'm a pretty good bloke. Maybe there's a white lie, whatever that is. It's only a small lie, so it's not as bad as someone who kills someone else. But that's not how it works between heaven and earth. It works between heaven and earth. There's sin, there's a problem, and there's a death. And so in Luke 13, Jesus is informed about Pilate that murdered. So that's the captain, the Roman captain guy who was governor. I don't even know where he was, but he killed some people and mixed their blood with the sacrifices that they were trying to make. This is Pilate. He's not a very nice guy. He murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. And Jesus said, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other people in Galilee? Because we think sometimes in terms of it's a greater sin, there's a greater judgment. Maybe there will be one day, but the problem is not the measure. The problem is the existence of sin. And Jesus said, is that why they suffered? Because they were bad and they got karma or something? That's not how it works. It's just that there's life and there's bad things happen. And Jesus says, not at all. And you will perish unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. What about the 18 people who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they worse sinners in Jerusalem? Did something bad happen to them because they were bad? Or did something just happen because there's sin? It's a construction accident. The scaffolds fell off. The tower fell down. Maybe Jesus was a chippy. Maybe he was on the construction site. Who knows? Were they the worst sinners? No, I tell you again, unless you repent, you will perish too. Oh, it's the big R word. We don't like that word. I just like to say mistakes, or I don't like to say sin. Repent, it means, well, I will go on my way and then I will turn around and I'll actually go God's way. Actually, it means a bit more than that. It means like I'm going my way and I'm sort of down, but I'm going to come up and go God's way, because repent means sort of come up and have a clear view of who God is. It means to come up. It's the same word they get the penthouse from. So come up, penthouse living. You're all penthouse living. Good news. You've got a clear view over the ocean. That's what repent means. And the Bible says it's a gift from God for you to turn and follow him, for you to turn and go his way, because he is good. You don't have to actually do anything. Don't go that way, go his way. The guy on the cross, he was having a hard time, but he was beside Jesus He didn't he didn't do anything. He just looked over. Just remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. He got it out. The other guy rejected what he was doing, but that was his turning moment. That was his turning point. Praise the Lord for that moment. Praise the Lord for that moment. So turn to God, remember me. And here this woman, she turns to a good God, and God is good. Father is good. Jesus showed that he was good. He pointed to a good God, a good Father. He called him Father. And when he said Father, because when they would pray, when the religious guys would pray and the people, they wouldn't use the word Yahweh. They wouldn't say his name. But he said Father, which straight away says relationship, father relationship. And then it says love, relationship and love. So he says Father, relationship and love. He's not like earthly fathers. He's heavenly Father. Earthly fathers, well, we make mistakes from time to time. Father of the year most of the time. Claim it. But sometimes get a bit cranky. Clean up your room. Heavenly Father doesn't do this. I had a friend at school, which is a long time ago now, last century, maybe in the 80s. She had a few issues. But, you know, we're in the same year, friends. But she had a father, and the father just left her at home when she was young, which I would never do that. That's just dumb. And what he did was he told her, don't go into this room, because you're not allowed in there. And I don't know what was in there. I can't remember that part of the story. But he put a little bit of paper in the top of the door so that when she went in there, out of curiosity, the paper fell out. She wasn't big enough to get back in. So when he got home, he saw the paper was down. You went into that room, and she got a belting for it. I was like, well, that's a bad father. That's terrible. Well, God is a good father. He's not going to beat you for your sin. He has sent Jesus to take sin out. That's the whole deal. Let's take sin out. Let's just remove that. But there has to be a free choice, which happened in the Garden of Eden, which we heard about last week with a great message on the tree of life. Make sure you listen to that from Ruth. They took from the wrong tree. I also climbed trees and went lantana jumping because back in the 80s, they didn't have screens and my parents never bought a TV. They got given hand-me-down TVs. And so I just played outside, which was great. So I went lantana jumping. The only time they got a new TV was this century when Tony went to stay with them and he bought them a TV. I wasn't deprived. I was lantana jumping and having a great time. It's great. You have to listen to the message to understand that from Ruth last week. She talked about the tree of life. But they ate from the wrong tree, original sin. But, you know, love demands that there's a choice. God can't just make a perfect garden and not have a free choice in that space and in that environment, something that you don't touch, because love demands that part of the ingredients is that you get to choose and you have a free choice. All right, so let's go back to this woman. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she heard a great story. She heard a great story, this woman. She heard about Jesus. Someone was talking. Someone was saying something. Someone was saying something about Jesus. Coming up to Christmas time, someone was talking. Someone had a story. Someone had a story. So if you go back a few scriptures from this story, something happened. Jesus is with a crowd of people and he's walking. That's what they did. They walked everywhere, unless they had a donkey. They walked and they're walking into a town and this crowd of people, they're walking into the town and Jesus is walking and they're all walking there. And coming out of the town is another group of people, another crowd of people, and they're walking out of the town and they're carrying a dead guy, a son of a widow. And they're all mourning and crying. And when Jesus sees them and they walk into each other, he has deep compassion, the Bible says. He's shifted in his spirit and he goes up to them and he says, don't cry, don't cry. And then he touches the coffin and the guys stop. And then he tells this son to come back to life. And the guy gets up and he starts talking to Jesus. He starts talking to him. And the whole crowd are absolutely bewildered. They're just like, what just happened? I just can't, what? We got to go and tell everyone what just happened. And it says that they told everyone in that area and then everyone in that whole region and then beyond that region. So much so that everyone was talking about it and they said this, a great prophet has come amongst us, a great prophet. That's why the Pharisee said, if he's a great prophet, he'd know what kind of woman is touching him, because he heard the story, because everyone was talking about it. John the Baptist heard the story. He sent guys out, go and check out about this story. They went out, they checked out the story. They came back, yeah, it's true. It's a true story about a dead son that came back to life. And so she hears this story and she hears about it and she thinks, maybe that guy can help me. Maybe he is. I've got to go see this Jesus guy. I've got to go and see him. I'm just hearing a story. When I was hitchhiking up in Byron Bay, called myself Jamie a few times. I was in Byron Bay and you go, hey, what's your name? Byron. No, it's not. So when that happened, my cousin, his name was Jamie, and he was like a brother to me. I was like, hey, what's your name? Jamie. That's my name. And the guy looked at me like, that's not your name, because I couldn't say it properly. It's like, Jamie. Anyway, this guy gave me a lift, and he started talking to me about Jesus. And I started thinking, oh, you know, but Christian people this and Christian people that. And he just kept bringing me back. Yeah, but Jesus this, Jesus that. Yeah, but Christian people quite hypocritical. They say one thing and do another. Yes, but Jesus is not those people. He's someone else, and you need to find out who he is. And that conversation stayed in my head for 2 years. Every now and then it would just pop in. Who is Jesus anyway? What are these people on about? Because someone was talking about a dead guy who came back to life, a dead son who came back to life. That's the gospel. I just started talking about Jesus to someone. And so she hears that, and she heard a great story. So coming up to Christmas, tell someone that Jesus is alive. The person beside you, pray for him. Ask God for a word. Tell someone that Jesus lives, that he was dead and that he's alive and he lives in you. Second thing I want to notice here is that she showed up. She just rocked up. She heard about him. Now this Pharisee, so when they, you know, God had one rule in the garden. If you think God's into rules, well, he only started with one, and then he gave them about 60 more when they came out of slavery, and that was just sort of to protect them from sin. But, you know, it was a bit of an issue, and it was just acted like just we're going to protect these people. It's a guard over you. And so, but the Pharisees by this point had made up hundreds more rules, and about 100 of those rules were oppressive to women. It's terrible. It's horrible. And so she just pushes through all that, and just like she's determined. And so she just shows up, just rocks up, just at this guy's house where she's not welcome. And she pushes through. She's just like, I'm just gonna show up. And the big part of faith is just showing up, just rocking up to church, or just showing up. And what's the next thing we're gonna show up in? We're gonna show up at the men's meeting. I mean, Eddie and Sudi, they're just gonna show up in Bali. That's just the next thing for them to show up at, isn't it? I mean, you just showed up here today. It's the next thing for you to show up in. You're going to show up at the choir practice. I am not going to show up at the choir practice. You don't think I can do it? Harry's going to show up at the choir practice. He's going to take it for the team with John, the blokes, singing. There's a part where you're just going to show up, but she showed up. She showed up in faith. She just didn't rock up. She had some faith happening. She was shifted. She was going to do something. She's going to, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to push through. I'm going to show up in faith. You know, you see the interviews on TV, sport, got to get some sport in. And the winning team, they're always like, yeah, we just bought our best game. We thank you for the 3 points. We've got the 3 points today. Yeah, we're just grateful for the coach and the team. The team put in a good team performance and we got 3 points today. Then they go over to the losing team. Yeah, what do you think happened today? Yeah, you know, it wasn't one of our best performances. The keeper got sent off. It's arguing the team. And yeah, we just didn't show up today, did we? We didn't show up. We didn't put our heart into it. We came, but we weren't here. We didn't have any heart involvement. We weren't putting our heart in there and showing up and giving our best. You show up and play the drums. And show up. For a season, it's just showing up. It's just coming. When I first went to church, I just showed up for a while. this is great, but the peace of God, saved. But then there's the next thing. And what is the next thing for you to show up in? And this was her moment, just to show up, you know, show up in prayer, just show up in God. So she shows up. The third thing is that she got down with God. So she comes and she pushes through and she touches Jesus' feet. She touches him. She gets down. She kneels and surrenders and say, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done some bad stuff and I need you. She just pushes past. She brings her best and she surrenders to him. And this is why she receives this faith, because she accepted Christ and he received what she had. And he'll take whatever you got. He'll take it. And it represents, she just got down on her knees, it represents prayer and surrender. She pushed past all that fear and judgment and what the Pharisees thought and what people thought, and she just surrendered to God. And I love this story. I read this a few times recently. It's of Ian McCormick. It's one of my favourite people to come to this church, I think. It's the jellyfish guy. And it says he was stung by 5 box jellyfish while diving off the coast of Mauritius. Ian later died in hospital and was dead for 15 to 20 minutes. During this time, he experienced both hell and heaven. And he had a moment, a bit like the guy on the cross who said, remember me. He hadn't done anything. He'd been living away from God. He'd sort of gone to church when he was young, but then he went through uni and saved some money, got a job, and then he travelled the coast and went up through Australia. He's a Kiwi guy, went over to Sri Lanka and just travelled around it up in South Africa, earned some money. And then on his way back, his brother was getting married and he was coming home. And he went back to Mauritius and he went crayfishing, which you do in with scuba gear. And he went out and he got hit by 5 box jellyfish. And so when he did that, he was with 2 other guys. One was a young guy in the boat. The other guy was his mate in the water, and his mate had a full steamer on. And so this young guy rows him back to the beach and just throws him on the beach. And he's just spewing because he's dying on the beach. And he just stumbles up onto the road and he finds someone. And this guy, he finds a taxi, and the taxi doesn't think he's going to get paid. So the taxi just stops in the middle of nowhere and pushes him out of the door because the taxi driver thinks he's drunk. So he pushes him out the door. Then he stumbles over to someone else, and these Chinese guys are there, and they think he's drunk, and they just laugh at him and push him away. And eventually he gets in, someone finds him, he gets into an ambulance. By this time, the poison is really ripping through his body. And he just lays it down before Jesus. He realizes he's on the way out. And he says this, my thoughts were racing. I'm too young to die. Why did I go diving? What an idiot. I should have stayed at home. Now I knew I was confronted with imminent death. I could hardly hear my heartbeat, and I lay there wondering what would happen if I died. Is there anything after I die? Where would I go if I died? Then he saw a clear vision of his mother. It was as though she was speaking out those words she had spoken so long ago. Ian, no matter how far from God you are, no matter what you've done, if you cry out to God from your heart, he will hear you and will forgive you. In my heart, I was thinking, do I believe there is a God? Am I going to pray? I'd almost become a devout atheist. I didn't believe anybody, yet I was confronted by this vision of my mother. Little did I know that my mother had been woken in the early hours of the morning in New Zealand at the same time I was going through this dying experience. God had shown her my bloodshot eyes and said to her, your eldest son Ian is nearly dead. Pray for him now. Now she had been praying for me that very moment that I lay dying in the ambulance. Now, of course, her prayers couldn't save my soul. She couldn't get me to heaven. But I knew that at that moment I needed to pray. Only I didn't know what to pray or who to pray to. Which God should I pray to? Buddha, Kali, Shiva? There are thousands of them. Yet I didn't see Buddha or Krishna or some other god or man standing there. I saw my mother, and my mother followed Jesus Christ. I wondered what I should pray. I hadn't prayed for years. What do you pray at this point? What's the prayer if you're about to die? Then I remembered that as a child, my mother taught us the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I knew it as a child, and that was the only prayer I knew. I started to pray it, but I couldn't remember it. It was as though the poison that had rushed to my head and inhibited my thinking was closing my mind down. It was terrifying. I relied so much on my mind and my intellect, and now suddenly I was dying. It was dying on me. As I was lying there, I remember my mother saying that you don't pray from your head, you pray from your heart. So I asked God to help me. Immediately this prayer came up from deep inside me, from my spirit. I prayed, forgive us our sins. Then I went on, God, I ask you to forgive my sins, but I've done so many things wrong. I know they're wrong. My conscience tells me they're wrong. If you can forgive me all my sins, and I don't know how you can do it, I've got no idea you can forgive them, but please forgive my sins. And I meant it. I wanted to wipe the slate clean and start again. God, forgive me. As I prayed that, I got another part of the prayer. Forgive those who have sinned against you. I understood that that meant I had to forgive those who had hurt me. I thought, well, I don't hold grudges. There are heaps of people that have ripped me off and backstabbed me and said bad things. I forgive them. Then I heard this question. Will you forgive the Indian that pushed you out of the car and the Chinese men that wouldn't take you to the hospital? I thought, you must be joking. I had other plans for them. But no more of the prayer would come. And I knew I was in a catch-22 position. I thought, okay, I'll forgive them. If you can forgive me, I can forgive them. I'll forgive them. I'll never lay a hand on them. The next part of the prayer came to me. Your will be done. I had done my own thing for 20 years. I said, God, I don't even know what your will is. I know it's not to do evil things, but I've got no idea what your will is. If I come through this, I will find out your will for my life and I'll do it. I'll make a point of following you wholeheartedly if I come through this. I didn't understand it at the time, but that was my prayer for salvation. Not from my head, but from my heart, asking God, forgive me for wickedness and evil doing. God, cleanse me. I forgive all those who have hurt me. In Jesus Christ, I'll do your will. Your will be done. I'll follow you. I had prayed a sinner's prayer, a repentant prayer to God, and praying that prayer was pivotal to everything that else happened to me. An incredible peace came over my heart. It seemed as though fear fell off me. The fear of what was coming. I was still dying. I knew that, but I had peace about it. It's just a really amazing story. Can I have the band come up, please? And Jesus says to her, go, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. She heard a story about Jesus. She showed up. She reached out and touched Jesus. And all that inner turmoil was washed away from her heart. Come on, let's stand and pray. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for the great gift that you made a way where there wasn't one, that you gave us peace with you. And Lord, where we have resentments and things from the past and where we haven't really walked with you, I thank you for your leading of your spirit to lead us out, Lord God, of different things, different hard things, Lord God. You bring us to places of victory and places of peace. We have uncertainty, Lord God, about making decisions. I think of your promises. I think of talking about you and just getting amongst people helps us to have a peace and a clarity to make good choices, Lord God. And yeah, we just think of the great salvation that you give us where you took our sin on the cross and you destroyed it forever. You gave us great love, incredible love, and incredible purpose. And just a wonderful peace in you. And I bless our peace here today. Peace to each one of us. And we bless you for that. We love you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
There is power in the name, Jesus.